Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And he said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. A pastor is never far from his people, even if he goes far away. This week, I'm on vacation in the Ozarks with my family, and I got up early this morning and went into town for Mass at Our Lady of the Lake in Branson. I was just a snitch bit late to Mass, something I know many of us know something about, and so I caught a pew in the very back. I hadn't even showered or shaved yet for the day, so I looked pretty rumpled, again, something that a lot of us can relate to. And another family came in just a couple of minutes behind me, and I could see they needed a larger pew than they were able to find, and I was sitting on the end of an aisle, so I got up to let them in, and who should it be but the Miller family from Christ the King in Des Moines, Iowa. So even 350 miles away, I find myself shepherding my people, literally, into the pew. Jesus got up and left the crowd as soon as they were filled, and the leftovers from the loaves and the fishes gathered up. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were still there, then they got into boats and they came to Capernaum. They went across the sea to see where he'd gone, and when they found him, they asked him when he got there. Jesus doesn't answer their question. Instead, he chides them mildly. "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." The people had previously asked for a sign, but instead, what he did was multiply the loaves and the fishes. This is, of course, a great sign, signifying what it is he is about to do. But they miss the sign and instead are caught up with the food. It's not hard to imagine. I know all of those years running our gas station on the east side, if my dad could have had somebody who could have supplied him with an endless supply of free food, he would have taken good advantage of it, and we'd have been taking vacations in the Ozarks a lot sooner than this. But it's not enough, and that's the gentle chiding that Jesus means to give us. It's not enough, and it's never going to be enough, because that food comes into our bodies and passes out into the sewer. The food that Jesus means to give is more substantial than that. Do not work for the food that perishes, he says, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal. The seal of God is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which descended upon Jesus at his own baptism and descends upon each one of us at confirmation. Our baptism and our confirmation are what capacitate us, what make us capable of the great gift of Holy Communion. Communion, which we celebrate every week, every day even, communion has consequences. And that is ultimately the whole point of this sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, which we'll read over the course of the next month or so. It begins with the loaves and the fishes, and then the rest of the chapter is basically a riff on the miracle, explaining just what it means for Jesus to be the bread from heaven. This is the work of God, he says, that you believe in the one whom he sent. Communion isn't just a convenient ritual which helps remind us of who Jesus is and what he did. Communion actually establishes us in relationship to Jesus. We don't simply figuratively eat his body and drink his blood, but because we share mystically in his body and blood, we come into a deep and intimate personal relationship with him. We enter into his body, even as his body enters into our body. We come to share in his lifeblood, to share his vital essences. This is as close as it gets. It's the kind of closeness that's obtained between a married couple or with a mother and a babe suckling from her breast. It's that kind of intimacy, and that's the kind of intimacy that he longs to have with each one of us. Of course, this kind of communion, it often doesn't look especially impressive. A doddering old priest or a young one who's too sure of himself saying prayers poorly over a wafer of bread and a chalice of cheap wine. And yet somehow there, God is made mystically present in a way that has the ability to transform not only our lives from the inside out, but the whole life of the world. It wasn't Moses who ever gave the bread from heaven. The passage from Exodus, which recounts the finding of the manna, makes that clear itself. The people complain and God answers the prayer. All Moses does is explain to them what it is. This hoarfrost, these flakes left on the ground, can be gathered up, ground down, and made into bread. That's the reason that this image of the bread from heaven is so powerful a symbol. It only makes sense for him to be the bread from heaven if, in fact, the bread which is him is to be broken. That is, if his body is to be broken. It only makes sense for his blood to be drunk if, in fact, that same blood has been shed. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. No amount of ground up grain, no amount of fermented grapes is ever by itself going to satisfy us for more than the passing of a meal. But with Christ present in our eating and in our drinking, we can be satisfied forever. Because the eternal life which he promises isn't something which happens only in some heaven far away, but is made present right here, right now, at our community's own Eucharist, at every Holy Mass, and by extension, every time we as a Christian people gather to share food and drink together. Perhaps even better, when we bring others to our meals who are not yet of our company. Jesus insists that he is the bread come down from heaven, not only because the manna fell from the sky, but because he himself is come down from heaven. The Holy Eucharist only makes sense if Jesus has the power to do what he promises. His promises only count if he has the ability to keep them. And the only way a man could keep the promise to make bread his body and wine his blood is if that man were also God. For God spoke and said, "Let there be light," and so there was. And God called forth the living creatures from the ground and the sea and the sky, and so they were. And God formed the man out of the clay and breathed the breath of life into his own nostrils, and so we are. Therefore, when that same God took on flesh and bowed low over the loaf, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body," so it was, so it is. And likewise after the cup, saying, "Take, drink, this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins," so it was, so it is. The priest I heard preach this morning drew a powerful analogy. He had been in California last week visiting the old missions, and he said, you could tell visiting these priceless old churches that there were two kinds of people, pilgrims and tourists. Many of us find ourselves as tourists or sightseers in the house of God, passing through with the kind of vague knowledge you might get from a pamphlet or a brochure. We might know some things about churches and how they run, about their art or their architecture, have a vague sense of the things that they believe, but we don't know them from the inside out. To receive Holy Communion is to pledge yourself to knowing Jesus from the inside out, even as he has first known you from the inside out. Therefore, listen today as he speaks again those precious words. This is my body. This is my blood. Take the bread of heaven. Call upon the name of the Lord. Take the cup of salvation and give thanks to his holy name.